We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning, and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church.
I'm sorry. How come our timing is messed up? So last week, I was just sitting there waiting for you. Oh, that's right. It's my turn, and now I jump your line.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. We've been
Our time is really messed up. I don't know if our listeners noticed, but last week's episode...
Right.
They had a bonus 3 more minutes than usual. Usually it's about 24 minutes on the nose, and it was, 27, I think, last week.
Yeah, so save that, if you recorded that on your computer, save that, because that will be a rarity.
And we thought about editing, cutting some, but really, that whole episode, just radio gold, that's what I'm calling it.
Actually,
I don't know if that's a real term.
We could have easily cut the first 3 minutes. And probably could do the same on this episode because, Matt, I'm sorry, I'm Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church at New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois, although I wonder whether they'll claim me or not at this point. Did we say that this is
Wrestling with the Basics?
If we didn't, we have.
There we have now.
Okay, so here's the deal on the kale. I started doing some investigative reporting on kale. The first thing that made me suspicious is I went to Wikipedia, which is where all investigative reporters start, you know.
Yes, where you went the cold, hard facts.
That's right.
Go to Wikipedia.
And on the top of the Wikipedia page, and if people don't believe me, they can check it out. It says there are some problems with this page.
Dun, dun, dun.
A Wikipedia article? What possible problems could there be? And then it dawned on me, I think someone's been trying to hack the Wikipedia kale article and redact it. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, my goodness.
And the more I read the article, the more I realized there are things that probably need to be redacted. Do you know how kale got over here to North America? Do you know? See, you're making fun of it, and I'm telling you, this is something we should...
I know you're passionate about this job, but no, I don't know how kale got over here.
Russian immigrants.
Oh.
Russian immigrants. Is that not suspicious? No. Not people from Spain or France or England, which we would trust.
The Russians. Wouldn't you know
Russians
it?
Brought the kale over.
I'm not
over.
Surprised.
Now, here's the other thing. Do you know where they brought it over in North America?
Did they sneak it over?
In Canada.
Canada.
Because, they knew they would never get through the tight customs we have here in the United States.
The Border Patrol would get them.
That's right. That kale would be stopped right there at the border. But, of course, things are a little lax between us and Canada. They claim to be our brother.
Yeah, maybe they're in cahoots. I don't know.
Oh, I've got to look into it. Let me make
our
a note of
in
that.
The north.
So I haven't checked out this guy Kale, at the seminary.
Yeah,
I'm going to look into
that. Give him a call.
But now we'll check
call.
Out Canada. Canada might be in this thing.
Canada and the guy at the seminary, Kale. Yeah. I think they're the missing links
in
this whole case.
That's how Kale snuck over the border through Canada via Russia. Now, right there, if that doesn't make you think
that's
twice.
That's a red flag.
Oh, yes, it is a red flag.
A maple red flag.
maple red. And one more thing about the Wikipedia article. This I'm quoting this. It says it is a coarse, unedible plant.
Quit making
That's what it
up.
Says.
That's
it,
what Wikipedia...
It, it
well,
can
it must...
be a coarse, inedible plant, and we're supposed to be eating it as a superfood?
If Wikipedia says it, it must be
true.
What was it, Kale? Wasn't it like a salad bar garnish for years and years? Just kind of what they would put out there between the salad dressings and the noodle salad to kind of make it look
That's
nice?
Like no one would dream of eating it because it's a coarse, inedible plant.
And now, all of a sudden...
I know. So we haven't got to the bottom. I'm not too... I'm analyzing the Hillary Clinton video, though. I'm taking a close look at that to see if there's any kale-related things in that. We'll report on that next
I hear
week.
If you play it backwards,
wait a second.
Play it backwards slowly.
That guy named Kale at the seminary and play the Hillary Clinton video backwards.
I think you're on to something,
I'll
John.
Report
you report back next week and let us know how that turns out.
Investigative reporting. I got my mic stuck on the... headphones. And what are we doing now? See, again, that's at least 5 minutes that we could easily cut out.
Radio gold.
If we run long today, we got at least 5 minutes we can
see,
cut out.
See, investigate every point like that. That's what you get awards for, though. You know, so.
Well, we're looking for a Wurlitzer. We're hoping to get a Wurlitzer.
Isn't that the
big news award?
Oh, yeah.
The Wurlitzer award?
Yeah.
No, it's a Pulitzer.
Isn't that a piano?
That's
organs?
Organ. That's right. Well, okay.
I would take a Wurlitzer if they gave me one, though.
Sure.
I'd be open to that.
All right, Matt. Where is it? Hit it quick. Yeah. Hit it.
All right, now. There's no time for foolishness.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Linus. Yeah. We were so having so much fun last week. We were just rambling, and we didn't even look at the clock. We'll have to pay more attention today because we have such good things. It's this story of the resurrection as recorded in John is just excellent, just excellent. So I will pick it up where we left.
Okay,
we were talking about the fact that Jesus is standing right in front of her, and Mary doesn't recognize him.
Yes.
And whether it's because she's overwhelmed with grief or whether Jesus is intentionally hiding himself from her, we do not know. I do know that sometimes it seems like Jesus is hiding from me, but he's not. He's there. He's just not there to be seen with the eyes all the time, but he is there to be believed.
Yes.
In fact, that's the neat thing that happens. So if you can't see Jesus, here's what goes on. Verse 15, Jesus said to her. She did not know that it was Jesus, but Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher.
Yeah.
What do you think,
Matt? Well, isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Yeah, she's confused, assumes he's the gardener of all things. You know, just again, probably not even thinking that that he really could be raised from the dead.
Well, he was holding a rake. Give me a break. He was holding a rake.
Wait a second. Is that in your footnotes? Where'd you see that? Despite the rake... He's not the gardener. And what I really think is beautiful is the way in which he really reveals himself to her. Mm-hmm. It's not until there in verse 16 that Jesus actually says to her, calls her by name and says, "Mary." Oh, just one word. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Just one word. Just her first name, Mary.
And that's the story, Matt. See, you can come to church and sometimes you leave and you think, "Well, I didn't hear anything. I just saw the gardener up there." You know, and that's the thing. When you go to church, you say, "Lord, I want to hear my name spoken."
Yeah.
I don't want to hear just talking about some Bible story, but I want to hear my name in that Bible story. And when the pastor says your sins are forgiven, I want to hear my name, that my sins are forgiven. And when Jesus says this is the body and blood given and shed, I want to hear the "for you" part, see? Because that's what strikes me. If we don't hear our name being spoken and what we're doing right here,
mm-hmm.
then no, you won't get anything out of it. Well, you'll learn a lot more about kale. But that probably is not going to really help you a lot. But we need to hear, when we hear the word, we need to hear our name being spoken. So thank you, Matt. That's always struck me too.
Mary. Oh, it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
And Jesus' resurrection isn't just a historic event. Although it is historic. It is true. It is real. But it's also, like you pointed out so well, it's also for Mary and for us today. Significance in our lives today. That's the reason he came, died, rose for us.
You know, and see, we had the same thing in my favorite story from Mark. I'm not trying to make an issue here that we're doing your favorite story.
Bring it up, yeah.
Because mine was short and simple. I understand that. But isn't it interesting that there again, the angel says, "Go and tell his disciples and Peter."
Yeah.
He's mentioned by name because he needs to know this message is for you, Peter.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's just consistent with who Jesus is. He's the same one who in this Gospel of John says, "I am the good shepherd."
Yeah.
And what does the good shepherd do?
Oh, yes.
Well, he calls his sheep. He knows his sheep by name even.
You are a bright person.
Beautiful.
Yes.
And so here in John's Gospel, the same Gospel where Jesus says that he knows his sheep by name, here he does. He knows little Mary. Little sheep Mary by name, Mary Magdalene. I think it's beautiful.
Mary had a little lamb.
Mary had a little lamb. Yeah, look all that. I wonder if there's significance to that. Oh.
Okay, I'll add that to my
thing. And she ate kale, too, I bet. You know, but I think, too, in John's gospel.
Yeah.
another one of those I am statements come up where he says, I am the resurrection and the life.
Ah.
And he says it there by Lazarus's tomb.
Yep.
And then
yeah.
I think that what's so neat is when Lazarus is raised and comes out of the tomb after 4 days, Jesus calls him by name, right?
Yep.
Lazarus, come out.
Yeah,
you know, and that personal name again, and it's kind of a theme here in John's gospel, that personal name for you-ness of all that Jesus does. And I think of you pointed out in communion, you know, that body and blood given for us. But I'd also say, you know, in baptism too.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh boy, yeah. You know how as pastors, so often we call that child or that adult, whatever the case may be, by name. And then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah. See, that's the same thought I had too, that whole business where our name then becomes combined with the name of the Holy Trinity. Yeah, yeah. And that's the heart of faith, Matt, isn't it? That's the heart of faith, knowing that this isn't just stories. It's not just about a guy that rose from the dead, but it's a guy who rose from the dead for us.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this is our
story. Oh, it's
got to
be. Yeah. Or else it doesn't have a whole lot of meaning, right? And then she calls him by a special name,
yeah,
Mary. Speaking
Rabboni.
Of names, and Rabboni, you know, which means teacher, you know, and even, you know, even deeper, maybe Lord, you know, teacher, this one in authority. And she finally recognizes Jesus for who he is.
Now, I'll throw one out at you that you probably don't have an answer for. I certainly, why? I
well, great.
Why.
Thanks, Sean.
Well, no, seriously, why? Because we seldom actually get the actual words.
Sure.
We do when Jesus cries out from the cross, O lema, lema, la baksani, my God, why has thou forsaken me? See, I understand that. I understand that because how could that be? You must have made it up. You must have mistranslated it. And so the Gospels want to say, no, this is exactly what he said. It's hard for us to believe, but it's what he's doing. He's taking our place on the cross.
Uh-huh.
But why was it significant, you think, here that we know the actual word that she spoke?
Yeah, John goes out of his way to do that. He gives us the Aramaic. And for me, it makes it that much more personal,
Okay. Certainly.
I mean, we are, as we read the scriptures, you read it out loud to our listeners just a few moments ago. You know, they're actually hearing the same words, the same sounds that Mary made that Easter Sunday as she calls Jesus a more personal name after he calls her by name. And so certainly makes the account that much more personal for us. And it shows the significance it was for Mary to know that Jesus knows her by name and now to call him by this special name that's even translated for us. Yeah. But certainly, you know, the scriptures could do that in other places too, and just don't. But here, for whatever reason, John, moved by the Holy Spirit, deemed it appropriate to do it here.
You know, I like the name business, though. I think you got a good insight there. It's a good way to run, because the other time is a name where we're told how we talk to God. We call him Abba, Father.
Sure.
But the Aramaic there is Abba, which again has a personalness to it. So, all right, thank you. Anything else that you see in those verses that we need to highlight, Matt, or?
No, that looks good. Yeah, what did you go through? Where are we at now?
We stopped at verse 17.
Okay, let's press on.
Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God," which, by the way, is a perfect time to plug what's happening in your church in a few weeks.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ascension at Ascension. Oh, boy, Jesus, perfect timing.
Yeah.
Ascension at Ascension Lutheran Church. So come on out, Ascension Day, Thursday, May 14th, 7 p.m., and we'll celebrate our Lord's Ascension and talk a little bit about, you know, we're talking about what this means for me. Well, what does Jesus going up into heaven mean for me? You know, with the resurrection, we can pretty clearly see that here, what it means for us. But Jesus ascending, what does that have to do for us, you know, and with us? So come and find out more April or May 14th.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice that the Bible actually gives us a chance to plug it
in. Yeah, very nice.
How come there's nothing here about wrestling with the basics? Maybe there's a message in that, isn't
there? Maybe
there
is.
Okay. All right. So anyway, let me read it again. "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers." And see, there again, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, never before had he called his disciples brothers. They had been his servants. They had been his disciples. But now, after the resurrection, everything is different. Now they are family. They are his brothers. "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your father to my God and your God. Yeah, so as if you weren't, if you thought the brother here was some kind of a generic term, like brethren or whatever, no, brother in the sense of family, because it's our father too, see, yeah, my father and your father.
Yeah.
Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he said these things to her.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible, though, that we are, Jesus calls us his brothers?
Yeah,
I mean, it's just incredible. His Father, that Heavenly Father, the maker of heaven and earth, is also
our Father.
Father. And we don't deserve that. We deserve death and hell. But yet, here we have sonship and daughtership, brothers and sisters in Christ and of Christ, too.
Yep.
That's incredible.
And, you know, I think the problem is, too, as Christians, we've been taught from little on to pray, Our Father.
Mm-hmm.
We hear this, it doesn't strike us. But I wonder if we realize this is unique. I don't think there's any other religion where people would dare to address the Almighty Creator of the universe with, again, as we were talking about earlier, a very, very familial personal term, Abba. Because remember, that's what lies behind this. It's not father in kind of the abstract sense, but it is this very personal daddy kind of language that we use here. So,
yes.
And that's unheard of.
Oh, my goodness,
No one else would dream of doing that. You can't address the Holy God like that in such personal terms. But Jesus says, of course you can, because we're brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. Not something to be taken for granted. Oh.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's this whole idea of the ascension, too, ascending now into heaven. You know, and as Jesus will elaborate later, you know, really that's for their benefit. You know, in his ascension, he's not leaving them. Maybe they won't see him with their physical eyes, but yet he's now with them always to the end of the age. This idea that, you know, he's, you know, this mystery that as the Son of God, God the Son, you know, he is everywhere. He's omnipresent and with us even still today. And gives us, as we'll see later, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't leave us alone.
Put this down on your calendar, either the Saturday before or the Saturday after. Let's do Ascension.
Yeah.
Since you're doing Ascension and Ascension, whatever's most comfortable with you, if you want to do it after because you already preached on it, that would be good.
Sure.
In fact, maybe that's what we should do because we wouldn't want to spoil it for people. You know, if we did it the Saturday before, then the surprise would be good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll
build
do it the Saturday
it.
After. We'll so if you can't make it, but you get Ted Drew's ice cream, which you don't get here.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I mentioned that this week.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Ted Drew's.
And again, the date for that is May?
May 14th.
All right. So we'll have to check our calendars and be sure and do Ascension the Saturday
good,
for that.
Good,
The other thing here, you talk about God being omnipresent and all that and ascending and yet still being with us. It always tickles me that Mary just can't get it right, can she? So first of all, Jesus isn't here. And now that he is here, she clings to him. She's holding on to him so tight so that Jesus has to say, well, don't be clinging on to me. You know, I'm here, but I have to go.
Yeah.
You know. By the way, I think it certainly affirms the fact that this is no ghost Jesus.
Yeah.
Because you can't cling on to a Casper the Friendly Ghost because you know, you've seen the cartoons. They tell us the truth. You try to grab a hold of a ghost and your hands just go right through him. I've seen that 100 times on Casper
the
Friendly
Ghost. Yeah, that's how it works.
You're right. Yeah. So we certainly have the affirmation of his bodily presence, but we also have this tension that, as you will deal with on Ascension, he's not here. He is and he isn't. That's the tension, isn't it? He is physically present, but not so much that we can go up and grab a hold of him.
Yeah.
And that's okay. As you'll talk about on Ascension, that's actually better.
Yeah.
That's better.
But it's incredible. And I think that the Gospels, John and elsewhere, really try to drive that point home that after the resurrection, he's in this exalted state, a state of exaltation. But yet, that doesn't mean he's not still true man. You know, he's like you point out, not a ghost, but he's flesh and blood. And so we'll see later, he shows his nail-pierced hands, spear-pierced side. He eats with others. The disciples later will give him some fish that he eats. And again, just proving that he is the same guy who died on the cross, is now the same guy who's risen from the dead bodily.
And you know, see, now, thank you. I kind of got my mind working. It happens on occasion. Now that I'm older, it doesn't happen all the time. But for John, then, this is actually very significant that she's trying to cling on to him, because we're just going to have a story next week where Jesus suddenly pops up in locked rooms, which might give you the impression that he is Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because that Casper can do that.
Yeah.
But, of course, John's reminder is, no, he doesn't show up in the room because he's a ghost. He shows up in the room because he's God. He can be present anywhere he wants to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not a miracle of spirit ghostliness. It's mm-hmm. a fact that he's the Almighty God.
Son of God, yeah.
And so, yeah, and like you said, Luke now affirms that because he actually sits down and eats with them. But John doesn't deal with that story.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And, you know, my English translation says, do not cling to me. But you know, the Greek again says it's more like, stop clinging to me.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not as though he's warning her, okay, don't cling to me, you know, stay away. It's as if Mary is already giving him this big bear hug,
yes,
and he's saying, wait a second, stop clinging to me, and then he gives that explanation. So it's kind of a neat picture.
Isn't that a wonderful picture? That's right. She's just so happy and so holding him. Okay, that's a little tight. A little tight there with that hug. Such a beautiful, and again, yeah, thanks for mentioning that too, because Jesus can be touched. He will be touched. In fact, he invites Thomas to go ahead and touch him if he wants.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not, again, no, put any thought of any kind of ghostly spirit kind of thing going on here. No, the whole emphasis of the scripture and all the accounts is, no, he is bodily resurrected, which always comforts me because I don't want to come back as a ghost. I've seen the Casper shows. That's not a whole lot of fun. That's kind of boring.
Yeah.
I want to come
haunt
back.
Someone or something.
Yeah. I want to be back in flesh and blood and eating and drinking. And I want to be able to hold my loved ones just like she's holding Jesus here. That's what I want to be able to do.
And you know, what a beautiful picture. And then another reason why it's so significant that he's bodily risen from the dead is because we too one day are going to be bodily risen from the dead. With these bodies that are glorified, and what that looks like exactly, we don't know. But yet these same bodies, but yet glorified, perfect bodies. And you know, I anticipated, maybe this is just me talking, but just to see Mary was able to then finally recognize Jesus, I would think we could recognize people in heaven too.
I think we will.
Bodily risen.
I think we will.
And to be able to rejoice together, you know, that happy reunion in heaven with those that we've loved here on this earth.
Yeah, and you know, that's the question. Will we be able to recognize them? And thank you for adding yet another bit of evidence that we will. They recognize who Jesus is, although there are times when Jesus does kind of remain hidden from them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then there's always the story of Moses and Elijah being recognized on the Transfiguration. But I think we really need to emphasize to people what we said earlier. You have to hear your name in the story. And that is what it is with Jesus' resurrection. You have to see this as a picture of this is what's going to happen. Happen to us.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says, that our bodies will be like unto his glorious bodies. Yeah. Our bodies mm-hmm. will be like. So whatever's going with Jesus here, now I'm not saying we're going to be popping into locked rooms. That's more what you get to do because you're God, but all this other stuff, eating and drinking, people clinging to you. Yeah, that's exactly the picture we have as Christians, and it's a great picture of what eternal life is going to be like.
And I think, you know, just as we wrap up here, the only thing I think in this account, as Mary is grief-stricken and sobbing uncontrollably almost at the tomb, the only thing that was going to bring her comfort is if Jesus was alive. Yeah. Jesus is the only thing that could have brought her comfort. You know, there's really nothing else that could have happened that morning that would have given her comfort. And I think that's the same for us in our grief, that in our grief and sorrows, especially when someone we love dearly dies, the only thing that really gives real comfort and real hope and real peace is that same one that gave Mary that comfort, Jesus Christ, and the fact that he is risen from the dead.
And I like the comment here, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And he had said these things to her, and there's an irony there because she actually hadn't seen the Lord, had she? There was a moment when he stood right in front of her and her eyes were blind. It was the things he said to her that finally convinced her that he was alive and well and resurrected. And so, dear people, as Matt talked about, we have our times of struggle and our sorrow. Just listen to what the Lord is saying to you. And I suppose you'll be able to say, I have seen the Lord. Even though you haven't really seen him with your eyes, you will have seen him in your heart in your faith. So, all right, Matt. Hey, we actually got it done on time.
Right on time. Perfect timing.
More Kale, more John 20 next week.
We'll see you then on Wrestling with the Basics.